This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. What if comparing car insurance rates was as easy as putting on your favorite podcast? With Progressive, it is. Just visit the Progressive website to quote with all the coverages you want. You'll see Progressive's direct rate, then their tool will provide options from other companies so you can compare. All you need to do is choose the rate and coverage you like. Quote today at progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Comparison rates not available in all states or situations. Prices vary based on how you buy.
What kind of programs does this school have? How are the test scores? How many kids do a classroom? Homes.com knows these are all things you ask when you're home shopping as a parent. That's why each listing on Homes.com includes extensive reports on local schools, including photos, parent reviews, test scores, student-teacher ratio, school rankings, and more. The information is from multiple trusted sources and curated by Homes.com's dedicated in-house research team. It's all so you can make the right decision for your family. Homes.com. We've done your homework.
Flurries of fun await this winter in Indiana. Feel the rush of the Midwest's only refrigerated toboggan run. Ski down snow-covered slopes and marvel at frozen waterfalls on a winter hike. When it's time to unwind, from outdoor fun to indoor escapes, your perfect winter getaway starts in Indiana. Plan your trip today at inindiana.com/winter.
All right, we still got a little bit of time before Valentine's Day, and if you need to get something special for that someone special, go over and see our friends at Robert Irwin Jewelers. Shop now through Valentine's Day and get a dozen fresh roses and a box of chocolates free with your purchase of $99 or more. When you make your purchase, you'll get a voucher. You can pick them up from today through Friday while supplies last. Also, while you're there, you can check out the new 2-carat lab-grown diamond tennis bracelets. It's one of the hottest gifts of the season. You can get yours for $7.99, but hurry on in because there's only a limited time while supplies last. Also, if you're looking for something a little bit more heartfelt and affordable for Valentine's Day, show her that you love her with the Love Ya to the Moon and Back pendant. It's a beautiful diamond necklace for just $129. It's the perfect way to say I love you forever. Also, if you're thinking about getting engaged, go do what I did. Go see my friends over at Robert Irwin Jewelers. They have a fantastic selection of ready-to-roll engagement rings, or you can even do what I did, which is the custom-made engagement ring. It's a lot less daunting than it sounds. It's not like I'm sitting here as a specialized jewelry expert. All I did was bring in a couple of pictures, and we went to work with the good people at Robert Irwin Jewelers. We got a brand-new, never-worn ring. Again, free with every purchase of $99 or more, a dozen fresh roses and a box of chocolates, 12 months interest-free financing, or you can take up to 60 months to pay. Shop early for the best selection, bigger, brighter diamonds, all at better prices. Robert Irwin Jewelers, rijewelers.com. Okay, Kevin, we've been having information thrown all the way around, scheduling, whatnot. No big deal. We're going to have Moose and we're going to have Coach Wisenhunt during the next segment. We're going to get back to the original schedule. Let's get into the list. That's right. The Grizzlies will take on the Phoenix Suns tonight in Phoenix. It's a game that you can see on TNT, True TV, and Max. The Grizzlies opened as a 1.5 favorite. That's now been bet all the way up to 4.5. And at first, Kevin, my first thought was, oh, well, that must mean that Kevin Durant's not playing. But he's been cleared. It appears he's going to play. I guess at this point, there's just people betting on the Grizzlies in this situation, and that's moved the lineup three. But that's a pretty big move for the Grizzlies, who will go on the road 14-11 on the road, 35-17 overall. Whereas the Suns 26-26, they are 16-10 at home. The Grizzlies and Suns did battle over the holiday break. That was a pretty good. I want to say it was either New Year's Eve or maybe right before that. But it was a pretty fun game where the Grizzlies kind of shorthanded came away with the win. I guess this is kind of the thing that I'm watching moving forward is there going to be lineup shuffling in this sense? Because I think we know as long as Ja, Jaren, and Dez are healthy, all right, we're good there. And I think at least for the time being, the Grizzlies at least will start with Zach Edey at center just because of fit. But I am curious to know, like, is there going to be a push to maybe move Vince Williams ahead of Jalen Wells? I don't know if we'll expect to see that right now because Vince's still coming back from the injury. But are the Grizzlies going to start shuffling around more in the front court? Are we going to see more Santi and Jaren than we have been seeing, like maybe diminishing Zach's role a little bit? Or are they going to go more Brandon Clark? I think those are kind of the questions that we, like, when we look up how are we going to view the rest of the regular season, I feel like that's kind of what it is. It's shoring up, like, what the roles are beyond Ja, Jaren, and Dez, and, like, how are they going into the playoffs and with what guys?
Right. I mean, that's what we would hope is happening, right? The trade deadline has passed. This is the team the Grizzlies are rolling with into the postseason, so let's figure out exactly what the team's going to look like on the court. Who's going to be starting together? Who's going to be coming when and where? Let's figure out the minutes. Let's get it. This is the time of year to do it. And I mean, Grizzlies fans have been wanting it to happen all year, but I think it's now time. Let's really start figuring that out.
And I really, you know, I'm curious to see, okay, how is GG going to continue to be deployed? Because from an athletic perspective, there's no question that he can easily be a part of this, but
right.
The team defense aspect is a bit of a problem, and he's even referenced it. I even think back to, like, there was a specific play in one of the Spurs game where he's mentioned he's got to get better at anticipating when guys are going to shoot, and Chris Paul, I felt like one time, just, like, pump faked. You saw him moving. Basically, he got GG to do exactly what he wanted him to do, which was, all right, I'm going to pump fake. He's going to fly right by, and then I'm going to kick it to the corner. I think if we can start to see GG's team defense improve, then I think maybe you'll see them turn there. But I think the thing I'm watching the most is, and this is not just trying to be a prisoner of the moment from Saturday night, but I think coming into the season, the idea was going to be, before Vince Williams Jr. got hurt, Vince was going to have that wing spot that Jalen has taken. Are they going to kind of revert back to that, or are they going to choose, you know, Jalen offensively offers a little bit more? Yeah, he's had at times, like, yeah, he didn't have the greatest night against Shai Gilgeous-Alexander, but no one does. I'm curious to see if they're going to start maybe going back more to Vince there, if it's a while before you see that, or if they just sit there and go, hey, Jalen's earned the spot. To me, like, that's kind of what I'm watching.
Right, and hopefully we'll see some of it here tonight in the Phoenix, Arizona. But yeah, I'm excited. You know, I'm excited that the Grizzlies did make a move on the trade deadline. I feel like this. I believe in this team, I want to see what they can do. I want to see what this team can do.
Did getting off of Marcus Smart feel premature?
I don't know if it felt premature. It seems like, well, you don't want to wait too long, right? In that type of a situation.
I mean, I think it. The answer to that is it kind of depends on how are you using the flexibility. So if Jaren doesn't make all NBA, are you using that money to rework his contract so you can try to extend him this year? Okay, are you saving that for the buyout market? What is the buyout market going to be? Are you using this to have, I guess, money to re-sign Santi, whatnot? But, like, I don't know. I just kind of felt you never know what's going on behind the scenes. And they clearly made the decision of, we think we're better off without Marcus Smart than we are with him. I just didn't feel like there was the necessity of, you have to do that move at the deadline. I still thought they could play it out the rest of the way and see if maybe there are opportunities for him, but they made the decision to move on. And so here we are.
Yeah. No, it was not necessity. I think that's part of the reason, but I do think you could have done anything. I don't feel like it was like a bad move because, like, yeah, they didn't get much back in return or get anything back in return, or it was packaged the way it should have been packaged. You know, it was fine. We knew where this was going to end up eventually, and now we just
rip the Band-Aid off.
Yeah, it's over. Yeah.
All right. We also have Tigers coming up. We've got two on the road. So we have Thursday at USF and then Friday at Wichita. I was thinking about this morning. There's a case to be made. This is the best position both teams have been in collectively this late in the calendar. This is the highest the Tigers have been ranked in the top 25 since
right.
20. It's the first time they've been ranked this late into the season. So if you look at the Kendrick Davis team, that team finished ranked in the final polls at 24. but they were not ranked for the every other point before that. So this is the first time they've been ranked this late into February since 2014 when they were 22nd. This is the highest ranking they've had since the 2009, the 08-09 season this late in the calendar. I think that's Tyreek's last year. I think that's Cal's last year. And they were eighth at this point. And then this is the Grizzlies' second best start through 42 games. So collectively, we've not had a point where Tigers are a top 15 team. The Grizzlies have the fourth best record in the NBA. But am I insane in thinking like it doesn't feel like that?
That's what I was thinking. It does not feel like it. But the best thing is it doesn't have to feel like it. Like I think it needs to feel like it in March for the Tigers and then right after March for the Grizzlies, right? It needs to feel like that. If that's what's to come, we can prepare for it, right? If these teams are really this great. It's different, you know, if the Tigers are, you know, top five, I think it feels like it a little bit more maybe than 15. They've been, you know, fighting their way back up there. And there's not much they can do. We always keep going back to this, but there's not much else, you know, you can do to get excited about the Tiger team. But, I mean, Jason Munns, a regular on the show, reporting that Tyrese Hunter is being held out of practice and will be a game-time decision on Thursday. So the
based on Jason's comments yesterday, he thinks that's going to just kind of be for a little bit, that's going to be a thing because it seems to be – it's not necessarily a pain tolerance thing issue, I guess I should say. It is a – it stiffens up on him and – like it seems to be before every game, you'll kind of figure out like yes or no. Cause that he basically, Jason said that Penny saw Tyrese on Sunday in the training room and Tyrese said, I'm going to try to give it a go, coach. And then when they got and they warmed up, he's like, I can't go. I think it's just going to be kind of touch and go until it gets better.
Yeah. But no, I agree with you. It doesn't feel like it necessarily right now, but hopefully we will get the feels that we need out of the postseason from these teams.
I do think that's another big part of it. It's also, like, you're just starting to realize, like, it's just become such a postseason sport. Like,
and it has, but also, like, with the Grizzlies, is like the Grizzlies keep, we try to get hyped up. You go back to Saturday, or like Oklahoma City, right? You try to get hyped up and you try to feel it, right? You're ready to feel it. You're like, let me feel it. They're the top, and they're like the top four team in the West. Let's go.
Thunder coming to town. Yeah. They're going to be a little shorthanded. Dez is back in the lineup, and they're down 28-3.
Exactly. And the Tigers' problem is we don't have those games on the schedule to get hyped up for. So the Grizzlies, like, we'll get hyped, and then you go back down. So it is that roller coaster that is the NBA season. College basketball is formatted a little bit differently, and especially for the Tigers, where, you know, it's just not fun to be having all these games that you can't lose. Like, it's like you just can't lose.
Yeah. I guess the other thing, though, is, like, I keep thinking as long as – it's like you can't stack losses.
They can lose, but every game is like you.
Their resume is aging really well. Like even Clemson last night, like Clemson absolutely destroys North Carolina. Like the more the year, it's just like the exact opposite of last year. The more the year plays out, the more their resume holds up. And like my whole thing with them is, yeah, they're not blowing out opponents. I've not really thought they were losing any of these games. Like the Temple game, okay, they trailed, like that's fine, but I didn't think they were going undefeated. The other like close wins, they've kind of controlled the game. And so it kind of hurts you metrically, but I don't know if it necessarily hurts your overall body of work. All right, let's go with the Dallas Mavericks. All right, Kevin, this from Tim McMahon of ESPN. With emotions from the Luka Doncic trade still raw, multiple fans were ejected in the second half of the Dallas Mavericks' 129-128 loss to the Sacramento Kings on Monday at the American Airlines Center due to violations of the NBA's code of conduct, according to a team spokesperson. Each instance prompted boos from the crowd. Mavericks Governor Patrick Dumont, whose family purchased the majority shares of the franchise from Mark Cuban last season, also was loudly booed when he returned to his courtside seat with 2:56 remaining in the third quarter. Two of the fans held large poster board signs that read, "Fire Nico," a reference to the Dallas general manager, Nico Harrison. One of those men was seen mouthing, quote, "Fire Nico" on the arena video screens earlier in the game before the camera quickly panned out. Quote, "In the first incident, the guest brought in a sign that broke the following rule included in the NBA code of conduct. Clothing, garments, or signs displaying explicit language, profanity, or derogatory characterizations towards any person or persons," Mavericks Vice President of Corporate Communications Aaron Feingold said in a statement released to the reporters. Harrison has been the subject of harsh backlash since February the 2nd to the shocking blockbuster deal that was built around sending five-time first-team All-NBA selection Luka Doncic, 25, to the Lakers and bringing back 10-time All-Star big man Anthony Davis to Dallas. Okay, so a couple of things here. Number one, I also think emotions are running high because Anthony Davis, who they got their first look at Saturday and looked awesome in the first half, ends up leaving in a non-contact injury and potentially is out for a month. So I think that's weighing on people. Overall, until somebody shows me some evidence of something more than this, this is one of the softest moves I've ever seen.
Yeah, I don't think you should be doing this to your fans. Just let it, like, it's only drawing more attention to what is happening, right? It's making it a national story. More so than it would be when we're talking about it here on the radio in Memphis. But, like, your fans should be able to voice their concern. Like, for a long time, you know, what fans would wear, garbage bags on their head,
sure,
right? And
the ain'ts.
But they should have the right to voice, I mean, that their frustrations. From the wrestling perspective, you think back, I mean, there are, if you go to a WWE show, and you bring a sign that they don't like, they will confiscate that sign from you, but they're not ejecting you from the building. If you're chanting something that you don't like, they're, as long as this, you know, not a hateful criminal thing to be chanting, then they will just, you know, turn up the crowd noise on their machine or something if they need to do that, right? They can just turn up the crowd noise. They can control that. It's the Mavericks' job. If they want to silence people, which apparently is what they want to do, it's not going to go away by silencing the frustrated fans, but it's only going to make things worse. But if they want to silence them, apparently they have not been doing, we're showing the fans on the video board very much, and this is, I guess, why, because they were afraid of some moment like
yes.
this. But, like, I think as a fan, you have you buy the ticket, you don't have the right to cuss at a player or their family or to say anything hate speech wise, but as far as firing the general manager of the team should be something you should be able to voice if you are not happy. You are a paying ticket. More than likely, these are season ticket holders for the Dallas Mavericks if they've got the seats that they've got, because they've got until this year, they've had a pretty strong support from the Dallas community.
Well, there's also, like, what is the messaging you're sending? Because on the one hand, you offer refunds to season ticket holders that are upset about the trade.
Correct. Yeah, they do that. So props to them for that. Yeah.
The story that they leaked to the press was they were worried about fan revolt if they made the move, so they tried to keep it quiet so that wouldn't kill the deal.
Right.
You knew this was in the realm of possibility. And then on the flip side, then you had DeMont, who had the claims earlier this week where they continue to bury Luka, like, well, we just want someone who's bought in, basically, like, paraphrasing, like someone like Michael Jordan, Kobe, Shaq, like great worth ethic. It's like, yeah, Shaq was famously the guy that says, you don't pay me to come in shape, I work my way into shape. So it's like, okay, that's a little mixed messaging. This just feels to me entirely like a James Dolan move that the Knicks would do. Like, oh, you can't boo me, you can't do this. Like, it just feels like they're lashing out, like telling the teacher, like, get him out of here. And by the way, I don't know if people have explained to them how human nature works. Probably not, because they're billionaires and they don't really care. Mm-hmm. This is only going to entice people to do it more.
It's going to entice them, and it's going to make more people upset at the franchise in a way that is like, at least these fans are, they're upset. They still want to be a Mavericks fan. They will still, you know, and they show up to the game, but they would just like, you know, somebody else making the decisions because they don't agree like most people with what happened here. We've got the, you know, man, what a week for Anthony Davis, right? I mean, my goodness, he's, well, how long is he out now?
Potentially up to a month.
He had to sit at home, watch the Super Bowl, and see somebody else's eyebrows get featured in a high-profile ad. It was not his eyebrow. And, but that aside, Dallas Mavericks fans, I think they should have the right to, they come to the game. Like, do you want to confiscate their signs to say that? If that's what you want to do, that's what you want to, you can take their signs away. But you're saying they can't chant. I don't want to say slippery slope, but it is a very much like, I don't know, silencing your fans and what they believe in. You should be listening to your fans. And they didn't, they did this deal in quiet, to get rid of Luka, and they didn't listen. It probably would have benefited them to listen to the backlash that they would have had. We still don't know the end game for them, right? We don't know the end game.
Also, it's like, if someone needs to be advising them, it's like, hey, let them get it out of their system.
Like, and this is only adding fuel to the fire.
Correct.
Now, I mean, they apparently, I mean, Mark Cuban, you know, and these reports are saying, they kept saying, you know, kept chanting, fire Nico, fire Nico, right?
Yeah, he said, but during free throws too.
But
this is where I do wonder, though. Is there some misplaced blame? Because one thing that never made sense to me, the ultimate NBA cheerleader, guy that anytime a report about ratings would come out and say, like, well, you're looking at, you know, ratings like a dinosaur would, and this is the greatest thing to own. They're only going up in value. Like, honestly, the type of owner that, yeah, maybe was he meddling? Was he a little too visible? It's like, I don't know. I think I would rather have Mark Cuban as my owner than the Adelsons and Dumont as my owner, because I think at least you knew at the end of the day, maybe Mark Cuban didn't get it 100% right, but he was trying to win.
And he was trying to win, but also, like, you could just tell there's something that he did while the majority owner of that team, as far as, I don't like, practice a sense, this loyalty thing, right? This Mavs fan for life. He made it cool to be a Mavs fan. Again, I don't know if there was ever really a time before Mark Cuban that it was that cool. It was never that great of an NBA franchise.
Yeah.
But like that, just that loyalty that was taught through the Dirk era.
Yep.
And like Luka came along and it was just like, here, we can do this again. Like, there was just such a, like, we've seen it. This is, this guy could be even better than Dirk was for us. And we're going to stick by him because that's what Mavs fans do, right? And I just feel like his presentation as the owner and how it was run before helped train the brains of these fans on, like, what should be done. Like, you stay loyal and you stick with these guys. When you have greatness, you don't let it go, and you're loyal to them and they're loyal to you. And that's kind of what you would think about during the previous regime. Really, honestly, the current up until January 2025, that's what you thought.
I also wonder if the NBA's got to get this under control. It feels like,
how so? What do they do? What do you?
I think they have. I think they got too quick of a trigger. I think too many people that shouldn't have power to, like, there needs to be, like, this kind of felt like, oh, we're gonna make up a rule so that we can justify your ejection. But it also feels like the NBA has the quickest trigger on getting fans out of there of all the professional sports leagues. And I find it hard to believe that NBA fans are the worst. Now, I'm sure part of it is NBA fans are in general closer to the action. It's not a giant stadium, it's an arena. It just feels like in general this is the one that,
I mean, they've got to figure out. You just had to drown out the noise. I mean, wrestling's been dealing with this for years. Sure. When fans, like, could the Yes movement happen in Dallas, Jeffrey? Could it happen in Dallas? I don't know. Like, you just got to drown out the noise. You've got to figure out. They have the right to, like, confiscate signs and quickly turn off somebody from the Jumbotron for saying that. But just saying that you fire the general manager is, and even chanting it as loud as you want.
Especially
like,
when the general manager made an unpopular move.
Right.
Like, I don't know, like, I can't remember what the phenomenon is in psychology, but it's like getting a giant face tattoo, and then when people notice it, lashing out at them. It's like,
right.
No, you did something that was unpopular. Now,
right.
You have the prerogative, you have the right to do that. We are also going to react a certain way.
Right. It's not a way to treat the fans. Oh, and it's going to be interesting to see how I mean, I saw that when I saw the video of the Jumbotron thing, I did not think, oh my goodness, that guy's going to get kicked out. I did not think.
No.
Initially, I thought, oh, well, that's funny. He is getting his message across in the way he can. So
yeah, feels like Dallas is the capital of butthurt nation right now, or at least the executive suite, the C-suite is the capital.
It's tough to be a Dallas sports fan at the moment.
All right, let's take a break. When we come back, Ken Wisenhunt, head coach of the Showboats, also UFL executive vice president Daryl Johnston, going to join the program. We'll do that next right here on Jeff Wright and Company, 92.9 FM, ESPN.
You just realized your business needed to hire someone yesterday. How can you find amazing candidates fast? Easy. Just use Indeed. Stop struggling to get your job posts seen on other job sites. Indeed sponsored jobs help you stand out and hire fast. With sponsored jobs, your post jumps to the top of the page for your relevant candidates, so you can reach the people you want faster. And it makes a huge difference. According to Indeed data, sponsored jobs posted directly on Indeed have 45% more applications than non-sponsored jobs. Plus, with Indeed sponsored jobs, there are no monthly subscriptions, no long-term contracts, and you only pay for results. And listeners of this show will get a $75 sponsored job credit to get your jobs more visibility at Indeed.com/listen. Just go to Indeed.com/listen right now and support our show by saying you heard about Indeed on this podcast. Indeed.com/listen. Terms and conditions apply. Hiring? Indeed is all you need.
When you think about businesses that are selling through the roof like Aloe, Allbirds, or Skims, sure, you think about a great product, a cool brand, and brilliant marketing. But an often overlooked secret is actually the businesses behind the business, making selling and for shoppers buying simple. For millions of businesses, that business is Shopify. Nobody does selling better than Shopify, home of the number one checkout on the planet and the not so secret secret with Shop Pay that boosts conversions up to 50%, meaning way less carts going abandoned and way more sales going. So if you're into growing your business, your commerce platform better be ready to sell whenever your customers are scrolling or strolling on the web, in your store, in their feed, and everywhere in between. Upgrade your business and get the same checkout experience as business powerhouses like Aloe, Allbirds, and Skims. Sign up for your $1 per month trial period at shopify.com/odyssey podcast, all lowercase. Go to shopify.com/odyssey podcast to upgrade your selling today. shopify.com/odyssey podcast.
You just realized your business needed to hire someone yesterday. How can you find amazing candidates fast? Easy. Just use Indeed. Stop struggling to get your job posts seen on other job sites. Indeed sponsored jobs help you stand out and hire fast. With sponsored jobs, your post jumps to the top of the page for your relevant candidates, so you can reach the people you want faster. And it makes a huge difference. According to Indeed data, sponsored jobs posted directly on Indeed have 45% more applications than non-sponsored jobs. Plus, with Indeed sponsored jobs, there are no monthly subscriptions, no long-term contracts, and you only pay for results. And listeners of this show will get a $75 sponsored job credit to get your jobs more visibility at Indeed.com/listen. Just go to Indeed.com/listen right now and support our show by saying you heard about Indeed on this podcast. Indeed.com/listen. Terms and conditions apply. Hiring? Indeed is all you need.
Hey, I'm Ben Stiller.
I'm Adam Scott.
And we make a TV show called Severance. Severance is back for season 2 on Apple TV+.
Before the premiere, Ben and I are going to be binging season 1 and putting out daily recaps. And after that, we're going to keep going as we recap every episode of season 2.
The Severance podcast with Ben Stiller and Adam Scott is presented by State Farm. Like a good neighbor, State Farm is there.
Listen and follow now on Apple Podcasts, the Odyssey app, or wherever you get your podcasts.
Hey, I'm Andy. If you don't know me, it's probably because I'm not famous. But I did start a men's grooming company called Harry's. The idea for Harry's came out of a frustrating experience I had buying razor blades. Most brands were overpriced, overdesigned, and out of touch. At Harry's, our approach is simple. Here's our secret. We make sharp, durable blades and sell them at honest prices for as low as $2 each. We care about quality so much that we do some crazy things, like buy a world-class German blade factory. Obsessing over every detail means we're confident in offering a 100% quality guarantee. Millions of guys have already made the switch to Harry's, so thank you if you're one of them. And if you're not, we hope you give us a try with this special offer. Get a Harry starter set with a 5-blade razor, weighted handle, shave gel, and a travel cover. All for just $3 plus free shipping. Just go to harrys.com and enter code STYLE at checkout. That's harrys.com, code STYLE. Enjoy.
Pleased now to welcome to the program the head coach of the Memphis Showboats. He, of course, is Ken Wisenhunt, rejoining the program. Also in studio with us, executive vice president of the UFL. He is Daryl Moose Johnson. Moose, I think they were talking about the 2000 Ravens the other day, and I was just thinking back to how much I loved when it was Moose and Goose on Fox. that was one of my favorite. That was like, you know, everyone's like, oh, who's the big game? It's like, I got Moose and Goose. I'm good.
He was somebody that everybody uses the term disruptor. He was a disruptor in football production. It was awesome. He would never let me get into that rut of just doing the same thing every weekend. If we were in New Orleans, we were going on a swamp boat. If we, you know, depending on the city,
he was
dragging me out of the hotel on Saturday after. He goes, you could do the game right now if you wanted to. He goes, come on, get out of the meeting room. So he was awesome to work with. I miss him. I miss him a lot.
He was truly one of a kind, and in the kind of broadcast you don't see today. So it was always great to have him. But I actually wanted to ask you this, and I've mentioned this to Coach when he was here last time. With the transfer portal, the freedom of movement, however you want to define it in college football, it seems to me that a byproduct of that would be, okay, guys are probably going to be less prepared for professional football because systems are going to have to be simplified. You're trying to get guys on the field and you're assembling rosters very quickly. Is this an opportunity for the UFL to be kind of a bridge between, all right, maybe you didn't get drafted, maybe it didn't work out the first time around in the NFL, but we can season you here. Is there an opportunity here that maybe didn't exist when y'all started the league?
No, that opportunity has always been there. And this goes back to the reduction in time on task by the NCAA, started about 12, 15 years ago, which is fine, right? They're student athletes. They're not athlete students at that time. I mean, now it's, I mean, the college athletic landscape is crazy. Guys staying in college because they can make more money than they could playing professional football. I mean, so you've flipped that entire system upside down. So we always felt like the players coming out of the college game were not as prepared for the NFL game because there was a restriction in time going back 12 years. And then you compound that with the CBA in 2010 that restricted time on task at the NFL level. So that, to me, has been one of the biggest things over the last 15 years in football. I'm that grumpy old guy from the 90s that will stand on a table and say we were one of the best decades ever. And you look at the players, but it was a system back then where, you know, we were constantly, you know, trying to get better. If somebody was to tell me, in today's NFL, that you can't come in and work with your strength coach because it goes against union rules, I don't know where we're at. How did we get here? So I think that the spring leagues, and that's why there was one in 2019 and 2020. I mean, we didn't have the partners that we have with the UFL back in the Alliance of American Football or back in the XFL with the first iteration in 2020. But there's always been a need for this. And you talk to coaches around the NFL when I travel, you know, week to week for the games. I mean, everybody was rooting for us last year, especially when we're going through the merger process. All the coaches were like, you have to make it through this. We need you. You have the time to develop our guys, and we don't.
Well, and it's also interesting, Coach, because this is also last weekend's one of my favorite NFL weekends where you just get NFL Network will just replay Super Bowls. And I was mentioning to Kevin, you're involved in, honestly, I think one of the more underrated Super Bowls of all time. And if only Santonio Holmes could have only gotten one hand on it, it's a different story. But what really got us talking is Kurt Warner and a guy that you coached. And Kevin was making the point of what an unbelievable career arc character. Because it's not even like, oh, he was left for dead from the NFL to start with. It's like, no, the Giants passed on him. And you totally reclaim his career, give him kind of that last act. Is there a path now where we can start to see, is this where maybe the next Kurt Warner could come from? A guy that was overlooked for whatever the reasons may be today, but maybe sometimes you just need to get to play a little bit. Is this something that you're looking for?
Absolutely. I think it's a big piece of, excuse me, I think it's a big piece of the puzzle for us, or a big piece of what we're doing is trying to get these guys in position where they can do that, where they can get another chance. Maybe they're overlooked, maybe they're not ready, whatever that may be, but we're giving them a competitive environment where they have a chance to get better at their craft. And if they get into the NFL, then they're much better prepared to take hold of that opportunity.
Do y'all, and this is for either one of you, do y'all think that we're going to start, because Coach and I discussed this last time he was in here, that whether it's organizationally or whatnot, we're giving up on quarterbacks a lot sooner than we used to. But we've also seen guys that just because a team gave up on him, it wasn't the end of the story. Baker's had a great time in Tampa. What we saw with Sam Darnold this year. Do you think that this is going to maybe give teams a little bit more caution and try to be more patient? Or do you think that we're going to start to maybe have this secondary market of quarterbacks that maybe guys that were, you know, left out in the wilderness, that they can have a chance to get back?
For me, it's something that's been around forever. We give up on head coaches too quickly. We were talking about it today. We give up on general managers too quickly. We give up on quarterbacks too quickly. I mean, there is a lack of patience today. Dallas has one head coach for the first 30 years of the franchise. I've had seven in the last 30 years. I mean, that's your big kind of correlation of the patience and the commitment that organizations had back in the day that don't exist today. Everybody wants to be at the top immediately. And, you know, Kansas City caught lightning in a bottle with the Patrick Mahomes drafting, and that sent them on a trajectory and in an arc for success that they've maximized. Philadelphia was kind of in a similar situation, 2 years ago, and then you lose both of your coordinators, and that's tough to adjust to. We lost North Turner and Dave Wannstedt in Dallas, and that sent shockwaves, you know, through our organization. That's not an easy thing to do, but here they are restocking it again. So, keeping that core together and just adding the pieces that help you get better instead of doing a restart. And even in Dallas this time, you know, the organization decides to move away from Mike McCarthy, but they go to Brian Schottenheimer inside. You don't want to do a total rebuild.
Yeah.
And that's where things get bad. But when you get into a Baker Mayfield and a Sam Darnold, you have to go back and look at where they were. And, you know, did they have an opportunity to maximize their skill set? And it's not being critical of the coaches that were around them. It's just the organization, the coaching staff, and the players surrounding you. When you're that first pick of the draft, you're going to a team that's got a lot of issues. And if we don't have a whole lot of patience, then, you know, we're never going to get an opportunity to see what that player could be. But we can also look at it from the other direction. Is Sam Darnold always going to be that guy that can have a great regular season, but he is not going to win you a championship? Because in the big game in Detroit and the big playoff game against L.A., he did not play to the level we saw him play through consistently during the course of the year. Dak Prescott has not taken Dallas deep into the playoffs. So are these guys hitting their ceiling, and then do you decide to move off of them? So I think there's a lot of great conversational points in there, but for me – and it was bizarre because we talked about this on the way over, how impatient the NFL has gotten at a number of critical positions.
Is that an ownership situation where it's just owners have gotten more impatient and now obviously there's so much more money, and whereas it used to be the NFL, most of the franchises were owned by the same families, and now you've gotten in, you know, people that have more money than God knows how much that have kind of new blood, and so there's a different approach. Is that where this kind of comes from, or is it just maybe in culturally we're just
the attention span is different?
Yeah.
The state.
I think Carolina is a great example, right? How many head coaches
in three years, right? It's I think, you know, I look back to Pittsburgh where you had Bill Cowher was there for so long, and I think that, you know,
they still had three coaches, right?
They still have just had three coaches, and
wow,
you know, I think what happens is it takes time for these guys to develop. In a lot of situations, it's very unusual where you can have somebody that came in like Jaden did this year and be successful. But you could see in the playoffs when it ramped up a little bit, you know, it was a little bit more difficult for him. You know, playing some of these spots, especially quarterback, is the hardest thing you can ever imagine, what you have to do with those. And then, you know, for these guys to be prepared coming out, especially with to Daryl's, you know, point about college football right now, it's almost impossible. But the expectations are, as a high draft pick, you've got to perform. And if you don't perform to the level that is expected of you, you're a failure, and they're quickly ready to give up on you. So it's very hard. I think Kurt Warner is a great example of that. You spoke about that just a minute ago, talking about it. Kurt was out. He was bagging groceries, and then he got into the World League of Football, or got into some football and got better. And then when he got back, he had his chance and played better. And, you know, obviously had great success. He came back to us, and I'm going to tell you what, he was in the latter part of his career, but he came into my office one day and slammed his fist on the table and said, if you give me a fair chance to play this position, I'm going to win it. So, you know, that's the kind of thing he developed, because he understood what it took at that point. Maybe not earlier in his career, but he did at that point, and he used that to his advantage to be successful. And I think that is something that's getting lost in the NFL right now, what it takes to do in the offseason to be prepared and get better in the season is getting lost.
I'm guessing Matt Leinart didn't do the same in your office. But I actually wanted to pick your brain on this, because I promise this is not hot take central in terms of what we saw on Sunday. But I was thinking about this, having been a bad quarterback, there's nothing worse than when you get the snap and you know that it's over. And, Coach, I was wondering from your perspective, is there anything that the Chiefs could have done differently to change the outcome? Because the way that I just saw it was, one team's big people were a lot better than the others, and basically 100 times out of 100, that's usually who wins a football game.
Well, you know, listen, Andy Reid's a fantastic coach, and Patrick is one of the best quarterbacks ever right now. But when you get into a number of years of where whatever you're doing works, because guys are making plays and you're able to scramble and you're able to make plays, when you get into a game like that where nothing is working, when you can't block their guys and they're in the backfield, you don't do a great job of adjusting, because you haven't had to do that. And I'm not saying that that's anybody's fault. You know, it was kind of the perfect storm to game together at one time. And you could see that, you know, by the middle of the game, you could see that the quarterback was frustrated. The line wasn't able to handle it. And then it's hard to get into any kind of rhythm to, especially when you're down a little bit, any kind of rhythm to get back into the game. So, you know, I think a lot of that is being taken for granted now, especially when you, you know, you just don't have a plan for sometimes just the toughness of stepping up or being able to adjust. You know, that's what is missing in some of that.
All right, Moose, before we let you go, obviously you're familiar with the young talent that is out there. Begrudgingly, I'm a Giants fan, and I don't know what the path is. Like, there's nothing more depressing. Your coach and your GM, like, they're bringing him back, and honestly, I think Dable's a good coach.
Mm-hmm.
I'm a little less sold on Sheen, but I don't know how much of it is they were hamstrung with Daniel's contract. But in terms of looking at this quarterback class, is this quarterback class the Pickett draft?
No, that was last year.
But I'm saying, like, you think there are guys that can really play in this one?
When you say Pickett, what do you mean by?
Is it so? Like with the Pickett draft, we had
Kenny Pickett.
Yeah,
I thought you meant like Pickett.
No, sorry. Kenny, yeah. Yes, exactly. Kenny went, I think, 22nd, and I think we didn't have another pick till maybe the third round. But basically, I don't think any of the guys in that draft are even starting now.
No, it's not that draft. But it's not last year's either. You know, I don't know where it sits in between those two. But for me, the biggest thing for the Giants have holes everywhere.
Mm-hmm.
There's not a quarterback there that's going to fix all their problems. So for me, if you can get value and trade back a little bit and start to pick up some draft capital, that's what I would do. They've just got too many areas where they have to get better. We were out at the East-West Shrine Game, and Kyle McCord was throwing the football out there. And the really cool thing was Jordan Palmer was doing an exhibit with a sensor that he puts in the Wilson football. And they went through a passing workout with all the quarterbacks. So you kind of come in and you look at them as they're warming up, and you've got the top, you know, three that you think, you know, just from what you're watching with your eye, you know, how they're spinning it and how it looks. And now Jordan can come back after they put him through – kind of a workout where you're making all the different types of throws, and then he can take all that data from the sensor and put it up on this big board. And, you know, he'd go up and he'd go, okay, if you did really well in this one, you know, this is, you know, spiral efficiency. So that's going to be that top right corner. So if all your throws are congregated in that top right corner, you know, that's a good thing. Well, Kyle's are all in the top right corner, and he's the only guy in the top right corner. On this one, you know, this is the spin velocity. So the spin velocity, you want to be across the top and everything. It's just a straight line right across that top. The data comes up, and there goes Kyle all the way across the top. Now, Kyle was number one in every metric that they were measuring. His release is a little bit slower, but not huge. So he's a guy, where is he going to go? Everybody says he's really moving up the charts. So I'm not sure, but to me, you know, that would be somebody I would keep my eye on as a guy that played at Syracuse last season. You're down in, you know, right down to the city. So there's some connections there. But for me, there's a number of teams that are up at the top. They need too much. And there's not a franchise quarterback in this draft. I don't see him. And a lot of people can say, well, you know, is Brock Purdy really a franchise quarterback? He's one of your great stories, but is he really a franchise quarterback, or is he more system, you know, around what San Francisco is doing? So there is not a guy like a Jaden Daniels, to Coach's point. We were talking about this coming in, Bo Nix, Michael Penix. I mean, these guys have played a ton of football, and they've seen a lot. So that's why, you know, last year's class, even Caleb Williams, he's kind of down the ladder at 33 games as a starter in college. So you've seen so much, you're a little bit more comfortable. And one of the guys that we brought up as we were chatting was Anthony Richardson.
Yep.
He just hasn't played enough football yet.
And he hasn't in college, seen he didn't play a ton.
Yeah, he didn't play in college. He can't stay healthy in the NFL. So that's what can happen to you. I mean, you see a guy and you think he's your fit and you don't listen to everybody else in the organization. There's some smart guys out there in these NFL clubs that know this position well, and you need to listen to them. And if you don't, you talk about trying to dig yourself out of a hole. You've just set your franchise back, you know, a couple of years.
Gentlemen, it is the UFL. Play begins on March 30th. The Showboats will host the Michigan Panthers at Simmons Bank Liberty Stadium.
On ESPN?
Like, yeah, ESPN. We had Fox Super Bowl ads.
As far as the commercials, I don't really remember many of the commercials. I didn't like many of them, but I do remember the UFL one. And I was like, tell me not to be sad. The football is just 7 weeks away.
It is
happening right here in Memphis. We're blessed to have one of the teams. There's not many cities.
It's always
they get
the host
UFL.
This is always a depressing weekend, too. It's like the first weekend without real football. Gentlemen, we really appreciate your time.
And you got a good one because, obviously, with Ken Wisenhunt coming here, but Michigan and St. Louis are two teams that had a nice offseason so far. So I think we get a chance to see. Coach is going to know
where
his team sits.
I just don't want Birmingham winning again. That's all I'm saying.
Yeah. Did Michigan and St. Louis need that much help?
I know, right?
I didn't need that.
Again, that is Daryl Moose Johnson and Coach Ken Wisenhunt. Again, theufl.com for tickets. We come back, we tell your story next, right here on Jeffrey Wright & Company, 92.9 FM, ESPN. All right, Kevin, for today's Don't Tell These Story, Tell Your Story.
Let's hear it.
Creighton has announced, coincidentally, on the UConn game, it's going to be Dollar Beer Night. There's no link to the UConn game. It was just a scheduled promotion. Dollar Beer Night, and make sure everybody gets out. I want to thank Raheem Forrest for joining the program. Also want to thank Daryl Moose Johnson as well as Coach Wisenhunt for joining the program. Missed anything, be up on the podcast shortly after the program ends. For Dennis, for Kevin, this is Jeffrey saying thanks for listening. Keep listening. The Gabe Kuhn Show coming up next.
What is Dax, are you?
Tracking all our cars on Carvana Value Tracker on all our devices? Yes, Kristen, yes I am.
Well, I've been looking for my phone for...
In Dax's domain, we see all, so we always know what our cars are worth.
All of them?
All of them. Value surge, trucks up 3.9%.
That's a great offer.
I know. Sell?
Sell.
Track your car's value with Carvana Value Tracker today.
Can't you see it? The world powered by solar and renewable energy. Here at Graybar, with years of renewables experience, we live in that world. Get in touch to see for yourself.
We are now ready to depart.
Book your visit at graybar.com. Yep, Graybar does that.
Every week on the Moth Podcast, we share stories that are funny, strange, heartbreaking, and above all, true.
I myself have been married for 56 years. Unfortunately, to four different women.
It turns out the people I was looking for all my life is what you people would call nerds.
Follow and listen to The Moth on the free Odyssey app or wherever you get your podcasts.